The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this November 11th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a gorgeous day from the inside, but a lot of you may say it's too cold, it's too chilly. Not me, baby. This is my weather right here. You know that I love when it's chilly outside. So happy November 11th, everybody. Also, shout out and a happy Veterans Day to those who have served, who are serving, the families of those as well. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. We genuinely could not do what we do every single day without those who have sacrificed way more than anybody else. And so thank you to all veterans, again, who have served, who are serving, and their families with the military as well. So Veterans Day here. I know a lot of people are off today. We are not. We are grinding through, working on this Tuesday. It's a busy day at the radio station, man. We've got Opelika Rotary Radio Day going on next door on 96.3 W. Lee. I had my shift in there for a little bit. The Rotarians from Opelika are in there shouting out all their sponsors and talking about the great things that they do. So you can flip over there and catch some of that content. We've got Auburn Men's Basketball on Wings 94.3 tonight. Auburn High Basketball on 96.3 W. Lee tonight. You name it, we got it, brother. But Christian, happy Tuesday, man. We got a great show coming up.
Yeah, we do. And yeah, happy true definition of crossover season, as you got to do two sets of prep today. A little bit of Auburn High football and a little bit of Auburn High basketball.
Got to flip the brain over tonight. I don't know how it's going to sound. I don't know. The first time I have to call a made three, I don't know if my brain will be able to flip over.
Just have your big notes out and just have that there for you the entire time.
Just read it. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Have every single scenario set up in your brain and just use that regardless of what the true call is. But no, happy Tuesday. We're having a fantastic show. 11-11 here today. And we get to start off our conversations with a little bit of head coach search intel, some new quotes from John Cohen that have been released about head coaches, about when he wants to have them, even more so than what we already thought, who that could eliminate, who that brings to the forefront. We get to start with that conversation. Also a little bit on DJ Durkin, as his name is obviously in the conversation, but he had some quotes about what he is wanting to do and who he is invested in. And so how does that change the way that the head coach search goes about everything, all of that. Before we get with head coach of the Lee Scott Warriors, Coach Buster Daniel, he's going to join us on the phone lines as he does every single Tuesday at 2:30. So I get to talk with him, recapping the fantastic game against Hale County in round one. And then we get to recap preview, Lee Scott Academy versus Montgomery Academy, Battle of the Academies in round two coming up on Friday night. We'll tell you a little bit more about the 3A bracket, talk a little about Auburn High School basketball in hour number one as well before we dive into hour number two, where we talk college football as a whole, biggest results from last week. The college football rankings version two are coming out tonight. Any changes in some of the biggest games going on, and then Auburn basketball taking on Wofford again tonight. And so a really nice rundown that we have, but if you want to be a part of the the show, any thoughts that you have, any conversations you would like to bring up. The phone lines are open here in the first hour, or at least through the first 30 minutes at 334-321-1390. The text box, which is always very, very active, and I'm sure will be once again here today, is open at 334-784-1067.
Yeah, so we jump into what is an ongoing conversation for Auburn football about the head coaching search for the Tigers for the new football coach at the university. And there are still tons of names out there that are circulating for the Auburn job, for the Florida job, for the Penn State job. The LSU job is getting less attractive by the day.
That job...
Did you see the latest update on that from Pete Thamel and those guys last night?
I saw the thing last night that said that Kelly was offered $25 million and then $30 million, but he still wants his full, what was it, 53 or whatever the case may be, and that if they're not willing to pay him that, him and his groups are fully ready to have a major lawsuit about everything.
Yeah, and then it turns out LSU was like, yeah, well, we never actually fired you, but now we have – probable cause to where they don't feel like they have to pay the buyout. I mean, it is a disaster in Baton Rouge.
I did not see that. So yeah. Basically them saying, we didn't officially fire you. We were just letting you know that we were going to, and because of what you've said and you've done, we now have probable cause not to give you anything.
Yeah, it's he said, she said. I mean, it's literally what it is. And so now,
there ain't no way that the institution wins over the individual, right?
Yeah, I genuinely don't know how that's going to go down. But think about that from a coaching perspective, whether it's an active head coach, which we'll talk about that from the Auburn perspective, but an active head coach or an up-and-coming coordinator, and you've started to hear your name thrown around, or heck, if LSU calls you, right, if your agent gets a phone call from Louisiana State University, I'll be honest with you. If it's me, I'm telling them, hang up the phone. I ain't going down there. I ain't messing with that right now. That place is on fire.
Especially even more so now that, like, the government officials are getting involved in the hiring. And
yeah, you're having to deal with the governor and the board. No, it's a mess. It's a mess. And I would not want anything to do with it. So, to tie that to Auburn, right, you have to feel like that benefits Auburn.
Yeah.
Not that you are looking for a benefit because of someone else's suffering or misery or, discombobulation, I guess.
Sure.
But I think Auburn does benefit from this because, right, what was the conversation when the Penn State job opened? Well, Auburn moved down one. When the Florida job opened? Well, Auburn moved down another one. When LSU opened? Auburn may be the fourth or fifth best P4 job open in this cycle. I know Auburn's had its issues, clearly, but Auburn doesn't have those types of issues. Auburn doesn't have, at least publicly, buyout issues, right? And misconstrued firings and things like that. Again, Auburn has plenty of its own problems, but by default, with the LSU situation, Auburn has risen in the ranks in terms of attractive P4 jobs, would you say?
I would 100% say so, and there's been plenty of people out there that have defended Auburn, guys that have legitimate reasons and legitimate followings, defend Auburn and say that despite everything that's open, they still imagine Auburn as one of the top two or three jobs open right now in college football. And so, yeah, you then add this to the fire, and not that Cohen goes out there and uses that as initial leverage, but it's hard to make that seem less attractive if you're trying to persuade and almost doing the recruiting tactic that people do of, well, why would you want to go to this school when that's all that they can offer you?
Yep.
Look at what we have here. Look at what we're building, and look at how peaceful everything has gone for the most part. Why would you want to put yourself in that position?
Yeah, I just sat up in my chair because that's the point I was about to make. You see it in recruiting. You absolutely see it in terms of the head coaching cycle and recruiting or coordinating cycle. I mean, you see it in hiring cycles. It's the exact same motto, whether you agree with that or not, whether you think that that is clean or fair or whatever, that's your opinion. But
It absolutely happens. The athletic director at Penn State is going to sit down some of these guys and say, do you really want to go to the SEC where they're threatening to put a bunch of teams in the playoff where you have to compete with all those teams, where you could come to the Big Ten and
compete
all you
got six?
Yeah, all you got to do is get second, right? That's all you got to do?
Or third or fourth, especially once we expand.
Yeah.
I mean, rather than competing for four spots with 11 or 12 teams, compete with four spots with six.
And somebody like Florida, they point the finger at Auburn and say, man, look at that place.
Yeah.
They've just crucified coaches, and that fan base is never satisfied, and they can't win. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody does it, right? Arkansas will be negatively recruited against. They've got the money, but they don't have the success, right? You're talking about Oklahoma State or Oregon State or UCLA. All these places will be making negative pitches about the other schools. And so, again, to bring this back to Auburn, you've got to overcome that. And if you're John Cohen, who has put himself out there and basically put his neck on the line here and said, I'm the decision maker.
Yeah, I am the committee.
Yeah, I'm making this call. I am the committee. You have to have a game plan. You cannot just start picking up the phone and expecting big name people to answer because Auburn's logo pops up. That's not how this game is played anymore. You've got to have something to offer them with NIL and boosters and backing and everybody going in the same direction, right? How many times have we talked about that in Auburn's recent history? You've got to have something to offer that other schools don't.
And Cohen says, earlier today that he has, quote, he's probably had conversations with seven or eight sitting head coaches. We'll get that number down, and I would love to have a coach within 24 hours after the Iron Bowl is over. Is that possible? I don't know. The reason I don't know is because I don't know how our candidates' seasons are going to progress over the next 3 weeks. And so, again, if a couple different ways that you can take this quote, and I have a couple bullet points that we'll work our way down, but starting from the first thing, seven or eight sitting head coaches, that goes to tell me right there, A, the job is attractive, because if there's eight phone calls that you've made already, tells people are at least halfway interested, but sitting head coaches, that tells me and Auburn's not really interested in hiring a coordinator to go work their way into being a head coach.
What if that's just step one? What if step one is to talk to active head coaches? Step two is to talk to up-and-coming coordinators or very successful coordinators, right? Could be. Just kind of playing devil's advocate here.
He just says we'll get that number down, and it would be one thing if he said we've had seven or eight conversations with coaches. Right. Sitting head coaches, he threw that in strategically, letting people know that because then he follows that up by talking about how important the portal is going to be, the early signing period. So that tells me he wants somebody that has been a head coach from the standpoint of making sure that, or at least having the name that would follow the head coach title.
And that brings up a point of conversation too in this entire coaching carousel tree thing that we're in, right? I was talking with a buddy of mine who covers Penn State, and he was telling me about the Nittany Lion coaching search. And
yeah, don't you talk to your dad daily?
Yeah. I actually have family ties, insider information. My uncle's actually the assistant AD. I was talking to him about that and stopped him mid-conversation because he said something like you just said, which is they're going after someone who may or may not be in the college football playoff. And I stopped him right there, as I will you. And I said, is that not broken to you?
Very much so.
Is that not a broken system that we're in where a major school like Penn State, Auburn, Florida, LSU, because of the calendar we have to deal with in college football, those major historical programs feel that they have to go hire a coach that can take them to the promised land, that can win championships, but they didn't do it this past year. You have to go get somebody that underperformed this year. You have to go get somebody that didn't get you to where you're trying to go. they didn't get their current program to where you're trying to go with your program. Does that make sense? You have to go get a, not a failed head coach, but a coach that didn't make the playoffs just so he has time to get there and recruit properly and do what they can do because of the calendar. That's messed up. That's broken.
I think it's broken from the standpoint of how the calendar works, of even just hiring, needing to go get a new coach before the signing, before the early signing window. I think Auburn, and I think, again, some of these other schools that are in this conversation, the category with LSU and Florida and whoever the case may be, with a coach taking one of those jobs and then that coach having to, or that school having to go fire or hire somebody else. I don't think it's always the case, because I think when you're looking at Sumrall or Golish or Silverfield, I think those are more so because those guys are trying to find the college football playoffs, and so makes it a little bit different. But then when you throw the regular head coaches that are already polished and in the P4 level, yes, you're then going and having conversations with guys. All right, you didn't make the playoff. And unfortunately, the way that the world works, you didn't make the playoff. And even if you make the New Year's Six games or the New Year's Six Bowl, which doesn't even really exist anymore because of the 12-team playoff, it's not what you wanted, so nobody's going to pay attention and it's not going to matter.
Yeah. Well, the perfect example of that in the name that I'm referencing here is Eli Drinkwitz of Missouri.
Yeah.
That's a name that is floating around for big-name jobs, including Penn State, right? And there are schools that feel like he is an option for now, unless they get hot and somehow sneak their way into the playoff, because then he's tied up for the next month and you can't hire him because he's busy and he's not going to leave. You would think most head coaches don't, but that's also the difference, right? In the conversation about Auburn, whether they hire a sitting head coach or a coordinator, right? How many times have we seen, even in the playoff era, where a coordinator has conversations, agrees to a deal, gets hired to be the next head coach at school X, Y, or Z, but they finish out the run because they're the offensive coordinator in Los Angeles or Columbus or in Tuscaloosa, yeah, right? That is why I think for Auburn, to again come back to the original point in conversation, I think Auburn needs to seriously consider going the coordinator route rather than limiting yourself on head coaches because they've done it before. I get it.
Yeah.
I do. I'm just in the boat of, I think the coordinator route's the better direction.
Well, it's that too, with it's the term that we've kind of used on the show over the past week or so of, don't let Auburn just be the landing pad for a coach that didn't go and do what he needed to do at a bigger school or another school.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry you didn't do that, but here's Auburn. We'll let you land on your feet to where you're just comfortable once again and you don't feel the need to go out and give your all and prove yourself like one of these younger G5 head coaches or a coordinator who's looking for their first head coaching job may do. Conversations with 7 or 8 sitting head coaches. Almost, again, unless there's some sort of game being played, that almost eliminates Hartline, Schumann, Weiss, and Will Stein from any sort of conversations. And I think what you were alluding to early on in this search, which we'll continue to talk about, I think Sumrall, Golish, Drinkwitz, Dillingham, and Durkin. I feel like those are the names that I feel like you only really need to pay attention to.
Well, it's funny you bring up DJ Durkin, because that's who we're going to talk about next. And former intern Alan texted us yesterday and we missed it, so I want to read it because it is in reference to DJ Durkin. And he texts us at 334-784-1067, the on-the-line text box, which is always open. He says, if you had to narrow it down, what's the main pro and the main con to DJ Durkin getting the head coaching job? He says, I love Durkin as defensive coordinator, but I remain 50-50 on him being the head coach. So talk me into it or out of it. DJ Durkin, head coach or not? Or maybe just DC? Or maybe nothing at all. We talk about that coming up next as we're off and running here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, let's get to the phone lines here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. You can be a part of the show if you would like to. We'd love for you to do so. 334-321-1390. And we get to Spectre. You're on the line. How are you on this chilly Tuesday?
Hey, nice day. Nice day. I love it.
Yeah, me
listen,
too.
Let me give you my opinion on the Durkin situation before I get back to work.
Okay.
You know, I've heard talk in the past, and it's been known that, oh, you don't want to hire a coordinator that is the same position coach as your head coach. You know, that doesn't hold water with me. I'll give you an example. Saban was a defensive coordinator, defensive-minded guy in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And he had Kirby Smart as a defensive coordinator. It worked out great for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, with that being said, I see, you know, there could be things that I don't know, but I saw what happened in the last game when Durkin doesn't have his mind on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
He's got it on other things.
Yeah.
And that tells me that he is a defensive coordinator at heart. And, you know, he was a head coach at Maryland, but, you know, we're talking Maryland, okay? But he had losing seasons up there as a head coach.
Yeah, he was 10-15 in his 2 years up there.
Yeah, and so I'd love the man as a defensive coordinator. I don't think there's none better in the SEC, in my opinion. But when you start giving him more responsibilities and duties and things like that, it takes his mind off the ball there, so to speak. And it was proven in the game, too. You know, Bill Cameron and all them were talking about, well, you know, he had to keep track of time and keep track of timeouts and things like that. And, yeah, I agree with that. But it takes them out of the defensive coordinator job.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Sumrall is my man, and he's a defensive guy, and I think he'd work well with Durkin. And I think they'd make an excellent team. It'd be another Saban Kirby Smart situation, I believe.
Yeah, which was kind of going against what you were bringing up initially, that people talk about, not you, but you were bringing up that people bring that up, right, about a head coach whose specialty is defense to hire a defensive guy. I get it. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, that doesn't hold water with me.
Yeah. I think it just depends on the guys, honestly. I think it just depends on the people. Do they mesh? Do they get along, right? I mean, I think that's part of it, too.
You know, if you have an egotistical head coach and it doesn't like what the defensive coordinator is doing or what the offensive coordinator is doing, if he's an offensive guy, like Malzahn and Freeze, yeah, it could cause problems. But I don't think that Sumrall's got that ego. And so I think he worked well with Durkin.
Yeah, well,
and,
I guess we'll see if that happens, huh?
That's what I like to see, guys. Got to get back to work.
Yep, appreciate it, Spectre. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. 334-321-1390. Got a couple of minutes as we're talking DJ Durkin because, again, our former intern Alan, good buddy of ours, who texted us yesterday and we missed it, so apologies there. But he said, if you had to narrow it down, what's the main pro and the main con of hiring DJ Durkin as the head coach? And I'll give you just my feelings here really quickly. The more I sit on it, the more I don't think I want DJ as the head coach. And I think it's because of the reasons we talked about yesterday and what Spectre just talked about. Do I think he could be a successful head coach? Yes, I do. And I promise, for me, I'm not taking his record at Maryland into account.
No.
I just think he's so damn good as a defensive coordinator that's where I want him. I'm that's being selfish.
That's what I was about to say. It's almost a selfish standpoint of he's so good at doing one thing. If you take another role, it's inevitable that the defense is going to take a step back.
And Saturday was an example of that.
Saturday was a perfect example. We obviously don't live in a place where everything is just overly simple, but my goodness, how simple would it be for DJ Durkin to walk in front of the microphone and not saying this is what we want, not saying this is what is happening, but for him to say, I am taking myself out of the head coach discussion for the future because I just want to be the defensive coordinator.
Which goes back to my original point. Even before Freeze was let go, this goes back to when DJ got the extension and people started talking about maybe that was a safety net thing that Cohen and Auburn did, right? I said, does DJ Durkin even want to be head coach?
Right.
And we may come to find out after these 3 games and 4 weeks, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he says, no, I'm good. I think I'll go back to making $2.53 million to be the defensive coordinator. And Spectre, you said he's one of the best in the SEC. Brother, he's the best in college football. Hands down, no doubt about it.
And even if it is not the head coaching job and he's making whatever it is, add a little bit more and throw associates. Head coach on there. Throw something like
that
tag. But again, that means you have to find the right guy that's willing to keep him on the staff. But it would be a whole lot easier if you knew that it wasn't one of those previous Auburn situations where the defensive coordinator is trying to step on your toes and hope that you fail. So that way you can work your way into that role. Durkin did say again in a press conference on Monday that he's built with Auburn for the long haul. So hopefully that gives a little bit of confidence one way or the other.
We'll see how it goes. More thoughts on this as we go. But we take our bottom of the hour break, and Christian sits down with Lee Scott Academy's head football coach, Buster Daniel, as they recap a great round one win and preview a huge matchup against Montgomery Academy coming up next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Tuesday edition of On the Line, which means it's time for our weekly Lee Scott Academy segments. The Warriors made history on Friday night, earning their first ever postseason victory in the AHSAA, a 42-14 win over Hale County. And we're joined now by the head coach of the Lee Scott Academy Warriors, Coach Buster Daniel. And Coach, I know no school today, but no days off on the practice field, right?
Oh, that's absolutely right. You know, just give the guys a... You know, we changed our routine a little bit. Normally, when we're off for fall break or anything like that, we go in the morning. But change the routine a little bit, let the guys sleep in, and we're gonna come in about normal time and get a workout in with the weights and then practice soon after.
Well, Coach, first off, congratulations again. A huge win on Friday night, earning Lee Scott Academy's first ever AHSAA playoff victory. And to do it in dominating fashion and at home, what did that program, or what did that moment, rather, mean to your program and to all these players that wear the Lee Scott across their chest?
Well, that was huge for our team, number one. Huge for our coaching staff, which works extremely hard to get these guys ready every week. But, you know, it's big for the school, you know, this is our second year in AHSAA, and last year didn't pan out like we wanted it to. But you know, our guys they were returning, went back to work. You know, they worked all the off season, all summer, and fall camp to get to this position we're in right now. And I'm extremely proud of them, and I hope our community is. You know, I think our administrators are, and hopefully some of our fellow students. But you know, this is huge for our school and our program, and just for our kids.
Offensively, 42 points were put on the board, easily one of the best overall performances of the year on that side of the football. What clicked for you and the guys to find that rhythm again and again at the right time of the season as well?
Well, you know, we being an old offensive line coach, man, I like to run the football, and we were able to establish a run on Friday night, just staying inside the tackles and letting our guys up front handle it. And, you know, Brooks and Braxton and even Max at times, you know, take the ball and run inside the tackles. And, you know, we were able to have success there. So, you know, kind of stuck with it. We had a couple of big passes, you know, that they were completed. I mean, two fabulous catches, one by Preston Hughley and one by Wyatt Watley. One that I thought was actually picked off on their sideline, but, you know, Preston came down with it. But, you know, we do those things to open up the run, and, with Max throwing the ball and our good receivers, you know, we're able to do that.
Usually able to, but again, last Friday night with a little bit of the rain, made it to where I know that you and Coach Wade were very, very happy being able to keep the ball on the ground. And I know that junior running back Brooke Zachary was happy that you kept the football on the ground as well. Had 230 yards of total offense, 198 of those came on the ground. What did you see from his performance? Again, winning Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week, back-to-back winners for Lee Scott Academy. How much confidence does he bring to your guys, and especially in that huddle on the offensive side of the football?
Yeah, you know, he's definitely one of our leaders. You know, Brooks, he ran the ball extremely well last year, but this year has just been a total domination from his standpoint. You know, each and every game, you know, he's outstanding, and he's just kind of put the team on his back and said, you know, let's go. I'm gonna carry the team. And you know, just over and over again, he continues to I don't know if surprise, but you know, it may be a good word, surprise us for what he can do, what he's able to do. You know, but again, we're going to talk too about our offensive line. They actually give him those holes. Brooks makes a lot of yards after contact, which is great for him. He's strong. He worked hard in the weight room to get there, but you know, just been outstanding all year. And again on Friday night.
That's something we talk a lot about on the Lee Scott Sports Network, Coach, just about how Brooks is so good at making guys miss in space, but it feels like just about every single time it's with a linebacker. It's not with a defensive lineman, and it's because of the offensive line being able to create some of the holes for him to run through, and then his ability to cut back, use things against the grain. I do think surprising is the right word, although you feel like you're surprised just about every single time he touches the football based off of the explosiveness that he has defensively. Your group set the tone early, didn't really let the Hale County offense get comfortable, had a couple screen passes that went for touchdowns early, but how proud of you on the way your defense has continued to rise to the occasion in these big moments?
Yeah, you know, that thing we played Friday night, you know, it's hard to tell a lot on film about their speed, about their quickness, and we knew going in, you know, that they had some good athletes that we had to contain. But you know, our defense played extremely well. You know, you mentioned the one screen pass that we weren't very disciplined on. You know, usually when they let you run upfield, you know, it's a screen pass, and we've been coached on that. But you know, in the moment of the game, it's hard to think about that when you're just trying to get the quarterback. But you know, I was extremely proud of our defense, the way they played. You know, they got a couple of runs on us, but for the most part, held them in check and gave us the football back. So I was extremely proud of that.
It feels like halftime, Coach, has been one of those turning points for your team throughout the entire season. You've made some really dominating adjustments. I feel like you're able to say, and last Friday was a perfect example of that as well, not allowing a single point in the second half and deciding to go with the time of possession, controlling the clock, outscoring Hale County 14-0 in that second half. What is the approach like in the locker room at halftime to get your team and the coaches refocused and re-energized for that second half?
Well, it's really nothing on my part. We have a good coaching staff that go in and they make corrections, and you know, if there's changes need to be made, they do that. You know, our kids respond well to our staff, and you know, we just go in and there's not a lot of hope yelling, screaming. It's just corrections and just explain to the guys what's ahead of them. You know, we have 24 minutes to play, whether we're up or down, but we're going back out and play like we're behind. So coaches make adjustments, the kids take it, and they go run with the second half.
We've talked all year about the standard that's being set and has been set at Lee Scott Academy, where you want to compete for trophies every single year. That is the standard at Lee Scott Academy. With a milestone like this, a very emotional win, being at home, hosting your first ever AHSAA playoff game, how do you keep the guys grounded, knowing of what they have to come and making sure that success doesn't turn into any sort of complacency in the playoffs?
Well, that's pretty easy. You know, we have good kids, and again, it goes back to our coaching staff. You know, keeping kind of, so to speak, keeping a thumb on them. You know, they're going to be kids. You know, we understand that, but we also got them to understand that, you know, the game that we just played, whenever that was, is really not that big a factor.
Yeah.
We move on to the next one. We enjoy it on Friday night. We celebrate a little bit Saturday, but, you know, come Monday, it's time to go back to work and get ready for the next team. So, you know, I think a couple of games that we've played here in recent history, you know, with the Real Town game and even last week in the first round of playoffs, I think our guys are starting to understand that they're a really good football team, and, you know, they can make some noise in the playoffs. So we had a great day of practice yesterday. Although it was cold, you know, we had a really good day, a lot of focus, and I think the guys are ready to go.
You mentioned that team the next week. You now quickly get to turn the page to Montgomery Academy. Been one of the best and most consistent teams in the states over the past couple of years. What kind of challenge do they present to your team, and what are some of the keys this week in preparing for that matchup?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're one of the best teams out there. I mean, but, you know, you look at it, everybody that's in the second round of the playoffs are a good football team.
Sure.
Or they wouldn't be in the playoffs in the second round. You know, they've got a couple of guys that are big-time threats. You know, they've got a 6'6 receiver. They've got a another young man, a 6'3, 6'4, is an outstanding football player that, you know, has a lot of big-time offers. You know, other than four or five kids, they look a lot like us. And it's just going to come down to who wants the game the most. You know, we got to go to Montgomery. We got to play on their field. But, you know, we tell our kids, you know, whenever we go somewhere, I mean, that's our field. We're going to try to take it over, and we're going to play Lee Scott football. And, you know, we've got to play well to have a chance. We've got to take care of the football. And we got a bigger thing. We got to cut out our silly penalties. You know, we still having some of those from last week's game. We got to fix those, because those things still hurt you down. And, you know, the further you get in the playoffs, if you have just silly penalties before and after the whistle, that tends to hurt you. So we got to clean that up and do a little better job of tackling this week. You know, our defense played good last week, but we had a lot of missed tackles and a lot of over pursue and, you know, just not filling the gaps they should be in. So we got to clean those things up to really have a good chance this week.
We're sitting down with head coach of the Lee Scott Warriors, Coach Buster Daniel, here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, talking about Lee Scott and Montgomery Academy coming up on Friday night. Coach, you mentioned a great day of practice yesterday. No school, but getting ready for another routine day of practice here in just a little bit. What are you looking for from your team this week in practice, whether it's focus, whether it's energy, attention to detail, or just whatever the case may be to ensure that they're ready for a big-time Friday night matchup?
Well, I think you just mentioned all of it. You know, we talk about focus all the time because, you know, these young men have, you know, 500 things they could or rather be doing at different times. And, you know, we have to keep them grounded, I guess you'd say, and understanding that, you know, they need to be at football practice when they're here. You know, they got to think about football. They got to think about their assignment, whatever the job is. And, you know, just we've got to take care of the little things at least got to have a chance this week. But, you know, focus and hard work and, you know, dedication to this team is the biggest thing we need to look at and to give us a chance.
And finally, Coach, again, Friday night in Montgomery, which we've mentioned, another historic opportunity for the Lee Scott Academy Warriors. What is your message to the players as they step into round two of the postseason, representing Lee Scott Academy, not only the football team, but the program, which you mentioned earlier, and just everything the program stands for, of how they're laying that concrete foundation of the standard for Lee Scott Academy?
Well, the biggest thing we want them to understand is they deserve to be here. You know, they have worked hard. They've done what it takes to get to the second round of playoffs. And, you know, they've got to forget everything else that they're thinking about. You know, a lot of them like to hunt. They like, you know, got basketball coming up. But we got to focus just on football, and we got to finish this season strong. And, you know, we're capable of going all the way to Birmingham. But we got to do things the right way. We got to play hard and you know, just take care of little things to have a shot at it.
Lee Scott Academy's head football coach Buster Daniel joining us here for our weekly content for the Lee Scott Academy Warriors. Round two of the AHSAA 3A state playoffs. Lee Scott Academy and Montgomery Academy this Friday night. We'll have full coverage for everybody on AU 100.3 FM, auhits.com, and the Radio Alabama app. Pregame coverage begins at 6:30 with kickoff set for 7 p.m. I'll be on the call alongside my broadcast partner Rhett Chrome as the Warriors look to continue their postseason run. And Coach, we appreciate your time. As always, good luck on Friday night and go Warriors.
Thanks a lot, Christian, and go Warriors.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to head coach Buster Daniel of Lee Scott Academy Football joining Christian today to talk about a round one win for the Warriors as they now prepare after beating Hale County. They now go on the road. Quick trip, not too bad, over to Montgomery to take on Montgomery Academy. What's the official drive distance? What are we looking at? About 48 minutes
or
so, Christian?
Let's see the...
You haven't mapped it out yet?
I did.
Liar.
No, it's actually my very my most recent search. Right now, according to the unnamed...
I think you can use maps.
map app that is on my phone.
Yeah, there's nobody knows. Nobody knows which one you're using. Yeah.
No.
You're not map questing it like back in the day.
Not.
Did you guys ever do that as a family? We would go on road trips. Even if we were just driving like an hour or two, we would get on MapQuest. And this was before. Now, you have to remember.
I was going to say, you're old. So.
Well, yes, I'm old, yes. But part of my family had a GPS, like the Garmin GPS in the car that we bought, which was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But the other part of my family.
Except for when it lets you know to turn in like 8 feet.
Yeah. Make an illegal U-turn.
Yeah.
No, the other part of my family did not invest in one of those fancy GPS thingies. And so we would get on MapQuest and we would print out the directions to go somewhere.
Oh, things are the devil. So technology.
What? Oh, yeah, it was, no, we just didn't, they just weren't going to pay the money for it, honestly. So, yeah, so you didn't go print out your directions on MapQuest to get you over to Montgomery Academy. If I printed mine out to go to Daphne, it'd be 4 pages long.
Pops, if you're listening, he had too much of an ego. He said, I know where I'm going. I don't need no damn mapper.
I mean, back in the day,
knowing Bradley, I'm sure
you had to pull out the old book and the atlas that you had in the dash to start pointing directions and then getting arguments and everybody's mad and somebody starts crying and good times. Good times.
Are they good times?
No, they're traumatic times, but it's fine. Yeah.
But no, looking at it right now, it is 56 minutes from where we are.
You lucky dog.
Currently located. We almost, I say almost, Montgomery Academy beat Flemington 42-0, but we almost got to ride in the same car together, and you just were able to, you could have dropped me off and drove another 40 minutes or so, but
yeah.
we could have carpooled together down south, but instead, Lee Scott Academy makes the much shorter trip to Montgomery Academy to take on one of the favorites in the 3A brackets. On the left side, it's probably Montgomery Academy right in there. And then on the right side, probably Mars Hill Bible. Those are two of the probable favorites to win their side of the bracket. And so Lee Scott has a tall task. But, man, if you have listened or if you've been to the games the past couple of weeks, the win over Realtown and then the win over Hale County, this Lee Scott team is playing really, really good football right now on both sides of the ball. Coach Buster Daniel, again, who I just was able to speak with, appreciative of his time, as always, again, with Lee Scott not being in school. They're all about to hit the practice field right now. He said, as soon as we get done, these kids are starting to show up, and we're hitting the field right now. Watching the way that this team has responded to how well they played early in the season, to kind of the skid through not quite the dog days of summer, but the dog days of just a long football season, mm-hmm. with the offense kind of stalling a little bit, trying to figure out a little bit more about your offense. The last 2 weeks, you've done a really nice job getting back to what you know how to do and then using little wrinkles when you need to. I mean, again, the fact that Max Hammer, we give him so much credit because of the rocket launcher that he has on his arm, but so much credit to the rest of the team when he can go 7 of 8 and you win 42-14. That being said, you're going to continue to rely on him more and more, but being able to play a really complete game, keeping guys healthy, was really, really cool to see in round one. Lee Scott Academy takes on Montgomery Academy on Friday night over on AU 100.3, AUHits.com, and the Radio Alabama app. And three of the four teams from Region 4 in 3A are still playing football. You have Glenwood, who won the region. They beat Thomasville 43-10. They now host Trinity in round two. Lee Scott Academy again with Montgomery Academy and Randolph County beat Thorsby in a back-and-forth wild game. 91 points were scored in that game, and that's basically how Randolph County loves to play. Their offense is really, really good. That being said, you feel like if you get two stops, you win the football game. Thorsby obviously didn't get those two stops. Randolph County did. They won it 51-40. They host Bayside Academy in round two. So all three of the teams in Region 4 on the left side of the bracket opposite of yours, right? Because Central is on the right side to where you wouldn't see them unless you were playing in Birmingham. But yeah, what a left side of the bracket this is. And then you look over at the right side, Mars Hill beat Whitesburg Christian 70-14. Winfield moved on. Geraldine moved on. Westbrook Christian, Piedmont, Fife, Gordo, and Colbert County. So again, a really, really solid 3A round two that you're going to see kind of throughout the entire bracket, as Coach Buster Daniel talked about. If you're still playing football at the 3A level right here with a bunch of these teams, you're playing really good football and you're playing really good competition. I'm really, really excited to see what this Lee Scott team can do when you almost have to get over a little bit of that intimidation factor, right? Sure. I mean, you're playing one of the giants in 3A, and I mean, by no means do you want to say you have nothing to lose, but I don't think the expectations outside of the building were to do much more than what they've already done. And so you're playing with house money at this point. Go out, play free, and then do what you can to try and host round three.
Yeah, I mean, you've done two things more than you did a year ago. You made the playoffs, and then you won a playoff game. So, I mean, you've already...
And beat three teams this year that you lost to last year in the same schedule.
I mean, that's impressive for Lee Scott. So, yep, they're going to be on the road at Montgomery Academy on Friday. Again, Christian Rettcrome, they'll have the call for you on AU100.3. And then myself, Rob Pate, Jack Cutton, just a little bit of a further trip. How about 3 hours and 24 minutes as of right now? Whether that changes or not, I don't know. So go ahead and call it 3.5 just because.
That's down and back, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no. Shout out Auburn Network. They did approve for us to get a hotel, so that was nice.
Oh,
so
we with the station vehicle. You're staying in.
Yeah,
the,
we get to all bundle up and cuddle in the
turn
station.
Turn the seats back.
Yeah, they all lay down. Don't worry. The door's locked sometimes. So, yeah, 3.5 hours down to Daphne. Jubilee Stadium is where we're going to take on the Daphne Trojans. So that's on Friday as well. And reminder, because of our high school football coverage, we will not have a show on Friday. I know Doug was not on today. He was attending a Veterans Day thing today, and so he'll be back tomorrow. Normal shows tomorrow. We are not here Friday. We'll have women's basketball on Thursday. There's a lot going on. All right, just take our word for it. But good news is we got a whole nother hour to go. We're talking more college football, playoff rankings, and then college basketball as Stephen Pearl and the Tigers are back in action tonight. That's all coming up in hour number two.
Following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this sunny and chilly day in the Auburn Opelika area. Happy Veterans Day. Hopefully you have some people in your life that have served or are serving. You can show your gratitude to them. I highly recommend that you do because without them, we simply could not have the freedoms and things that we have in this wonderful country. So thank you to them. And again, hopefully you understand. If you do have the day off, you understand why you have the day off. But we are just underway here in hour number two of today's show, where hour number one was awesome. We had a lot of fun talking some more Auburn football coaching search, why it may or may not be an active head coach or a coordinator, if DJ Durkin is the right option there. Had some very good insights on that. And then Christian sat down with Lee Scott Academy's head football coach, Buster Daniels, to talk about the round one win over Hale County for the Warriors and preview Montgomery Academy coming up this Friday. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, you can go back and listen to the podcast version of the show on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, we're picking up on a conversation we couldn't get to quite yesterday, but we get to take a look around the SEC and the top 25, talk about the biggest results from last week. Also, the college football playoff ranking version 2 come out tonight. Will we expect any big changes, or will everything look relatively uniform to what we saw last week? I tend to believe that it will not. And we'll finish up talking about Auburn basketball and Wofford tonight. What we want to see on the hardwood from Auburn. We'll talk a little bit about this Wofford team as a whole as well. All of that coming up here in hour number two.
And we were talking at the end of the hour because you had talked with Buster about Lee Scott football, kind of talking about the Warriors in the 3A bracket, talking a little Auburn High in the 7A bracket. If anybody wants to look at those and kind of reference those on what the playoffs look like right now, for the teams that we cover, you can find those on our station website as well at ESPNAU.com. Our folks have done an incredible job of putting those on the website. Just go to ESPNAU.com, click on sports, and then click on playoff brackets. It's self-directed. You'll get there. There's the 3A bracket, the 5A bracket, and the 7A bracket for the teams we have remaining in our network of coverage. So that's ESPNAU.com in the sports tab, and click on playoff brackets. You can go and check those out for high school football. Phone lines are open all of hour number two. If you would like to be a part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Talking coaching search, college football, college basketball, you name it. We'd love to hear from you. And we start the hour by getting to those phone lines with Terry. You're on the line. What's going on, man?
Hey, Jacob. Hey, Chris. How y'all doing?
Doing well. Good, Terry.
Great. Hey, guys, don't be surprised, and I won't be, if Texas A&M and Indiana swap places tonight.
Texas A&M hops Indiana for the two spot,
they just swap places. It's 2 and 3.
Here's my problem with that. Right? Is I understand the reasoning, because Indiana struggled with a head coachless Penn State team. I know they have an interim in Terry Smith, but Indiana struggles with Penn State. A&M continues to roll, but. Does the same rule for me apply for a 2 or 3 seed as it does the 1, where if you don't lose, you shouldn't be punished, you shouldn't move around? Do you believe in that sort of thing, Terry?
I do. I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
Well, you're just saying don't be surprised if it happens tonight.
Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if it happens.
Why do you say that?
I just think there's been some quiet talk about it. I just said, and if Texas A&M does play in the Southeastern Conference.
So you think there is some SEC bias?
I don't even know if it's bias. I just think it's the fact of they take everything week by week, and a win on the road at Missouri is going to look better than a win at Penn State.
Yeah, I agree with Christian there.
Which is wild. Think about that.
The fact that screw the body of work. We're taking this week by week.
I'm just saying, don't be surprised to have it. I'm not anyway predicting it. I'm just saying, don't be surprised.
Sure.
No, that would be. I mean, if there's one that I would predict, I would say that would be between 2 and 3 with Indiana and A&M.
I was saying more of how crazy it is to say that a win on the road at Missouri means more than a win on the road at Penn State right now.
Yeah.
And guys, I know I took some heat over my predictions. Auburn needs to hire an offensive coach, and that hasn't worked out. And I know that, and it's been a disaster. You know, Freeze. Miles on and horrible, Brian Harbaugh. It just hasn't worked out. It just has not. And you know, they have to go in a different direction now. If you told me Auburn was going 38 points against Vanderbilt, I would say they win the game. But they didn't. And so, you know, the defense didn't come through. And, you know, all year long we've been talking about, well, if the offense could just score. Just make hay and score and keep the ball control. It did, and they didn't win.
Right, and I think too, though, Terry, the way that I described it was, at some point the defense in that side of the football deserved a little grace, deserved a little leniency. And this is what we said yesterday. It's just unfortunate that the one time, finally, the offense breaks through is the game that the defense doesn't play its best and has one of its worst performances we've seen in recent memory, and those two things collided, and you lost a game in a way you haven't lost in quite some time. I'll double down with this. Okay, you've got the bye week. You have Mercer, which is a sneaky good team. Again, Christian talked about that yesterday. That's an 8-1 football team, so don't overlook them. But if that's the same situation in the Iron Bowl, then I think fans are allowed to be a little upset. If the offense puts up 35, 40 points against Alabama, but you give up 40 or 45, then you're allowed to come back and say, all right, man, that's tough that the defense let us down. But I don't think it's fair to say that just yet.
Right, I was just trying to make a point.
Oh, I get it.
That,
yeah,
that the defense can't carry you, and that we did. My view hasn't changed. The offense at Auburn is the problem.
Correct.
And I don't think anybody disagrees with me there. So, an offensive coach is not the answer, and I was wrong on that. And I admit that. But you kind of see where I was going with that, because offense continues to be the problem at Auburn. And they paid a lot of money to Jackson Arnold, a lot of NIL money to him, to come sit on the bench.
So you're saying to go hire a more defensive-minded guy, but maybe go pay a really good offensive coordinator, Terry?
I'm saying I don't know. I just hope I want them to hire somebody. I don't care.
Hire somebody and somebody that's proven to be a winner, Terry. That's about
right.
Where I'm at.
But the bottom line is, Jacob, you got to win with defense, because defense wins championships.
I don't know. Terry, appreciate the call, my man. 334-321-1390. But look at today's era of college football. We're about to talk about the playoff rankings and look at those teams at the top. They have great defenses, but their offense puts up a bunch of points. Ohio State, Indiana, A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Oregon, Texas Tech. Those are some of the best offenses in the country. And guess what? They're all ranked in the top 8 of the AP poll that came out on Sunday, and they're all going to be inside the top 10 of the college football playoffs tonight.
It's crazy to think, and I apologize, I forgot exactly who it was that brought this point even more so to our attention, is the fact that last week, obviously not the case anymore, but even 3 or 4 weeks ago, when there were 4 teams in college football that had not given up more than 24 points in a single game. Obviously, Miami and Auburn have now been knocked off of those categories. Ohio State and Indiana are still in that category because Indiana only gave up 24 to Penn State. But you look at the offenses for those teams and think about how little in a diminishing way, but how little those defenses have to be on the field, or how little those defenses have to work a true game plan, because more times than not, it's 49-10, and you know that they're going to have to throw the football. You know that you can make a team one-dimensional rather than Auburn was that differing case of, man, half the time it's 17-13, and the entire playbook is still open, which gives even more credit to the defense for Auburn and why we say that DJ Durkin is one of, if not the best, in the entire country, because he was putting up those types of numbers with an offense that was only putting up 17 points,
yeah,
rather than an offense that was giving you 35, 42, 49 just about every single week, making your job that much easier.
Well, the difference, too, is you mentioned the difference in snap count and playing time of offenses and defenses that Auburn has done compared to those teams at the top. I mean, I look at stress snaps, yeah, right? I look at those crucial plays and crucial downs and the crucial quarters, right? Look at Ohio State's defense. The Texas game was a 4-quarter game, right? Washington was a 4-quarter game. I know the score isn't great, and it looks like Ohio State won by several, and they dominated that game, but they still had to play good football for 4 quarters. They pulled away from Illinois. They pulled away from Penn State, but other than that, man, they've blown everybody out. And most of the starters haven't played in the 4th quarter. Indiana's the same way outside of, what, Iowa, Oregon, and this past weekend at Penn State. But that's the difference, is they have those games where they can take a week off. They expect to do that against Wisconsin this weekend, I guarantee it. And that makes them healthy. That makes them valuable. That makes them ready to go when they get to the college football playoff. And so, to Terry's point, and I do understand where he's going, is the idea at Auburn has been, well, go get the offensive genius, the offensive guru, the offensive mastermind. But yet, that hasn't really worked in recent years. Doesn't mean it can't. Just means it hasn't. And these other teams have figured it out with head coaches that aren't considered the greatest offensive minds in the world that you know, that has ever been put on this earth. You don't have to go get that. Because we've continued to say, we're not smart enough to do it. But calling offense in 2025 is not as difficult as Hugh Freeze made it look. I'm sorry, I refuse to believe it. Look at this past
Saturday
weekend.
Saturday was the perfect example.
It's the perfect example.
Yeah.
And you said it yesterday, that was the worst possible thing that could have happened for the Freeze argument.
Yeah.
Because it buried it right then and there. Put it to bed, done, over, gone.
Yeah, the 1 week, or the first week, rather, that he is not calling plays, you put up more yards than a half that you did three of your six conference games as a whole, or whatever the case may be, but more points than you had in the previous three combined losses. I mean, it's just...
And on the flip side, the game that DJ Durkin has the interim tag, he's focused on everything rather than one side of the football, the defense has its worst performance. Those two things are not coincidences, folks.
No.
They're not. Plain and simple. It's not a coincidence on either side of the ball. And what happens from here on out, we don't know. But you've got a bye week where DJ Durkin's talking about playing different quarterbacks, possibly. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. Hopefully he puts more emphasis on the defense, and I think they'll respond in a good way. You've got to focus and prepare for a solid Mercer team, and then you have a chance to take on Alabama in the Iron Bowl. Right? You have things to play for and something to build for, but it hopefully will continue to look different than it has up to this point. So... before we get to break, quickly, Terry brought it up, and we were going to bring it up as well. The college football playoff rankings tonight, second one's come out. Do you expect there to be anything, any sort of crazy changes? His not so much prediction, but don't be surprised if was Texas A&M jumping Indiana and then flipping spots from 2 and 3. So A&M at 2 and Indiana at 3. Do you expect anything else in there to be kind of crazy tonight?
I mean, when you're looking at, again, the one top 10 game, I think Texas Tech. I wouldn't be surprised if the Red Raiders jump Ole Miss just because of, again, if you're taking that same argument of, yes, the body of work, but even more so what you did in that previous week of Texas Tech beating BYU and doing it in dominating fashion while Ole Miss beats the JV team of their local high school in Oxford. I think that could be a little bit of an argument, and just because for no other reason than the fact that it's Notre Dame, watch Notre Dame jump Oregon because of the game that they played at Kinnick Stadium.
A road game in the rain against what is, against my opinion, a top 25 Iowa team. You shouldn't be, and they won. Again, they won, but because Notre Dame continues to roll over bad teams, I told you, man. I told you way back when on that Notre Dame team. That's such a dumb situation, man. That team started 0-2, Notre Dame did. And I said, if they win out, they'll get in. Now, they have to do it again this weekend, right? College game day going here. Notre Dame on the road at Pitt. Is that right? Is that this weekend?
It is. And they asked the Pittsburgh head coach if this was a mandatory win, and he said no.
Did he really?
On Monday. Yeah.
Ooh.
He said it's not a conference game, so it's one that we want to win, but ultimately doesn't really change anything. Great mindset.
Does somebody want to tell him that that's not true? Does somebody want to change that for him? Because Pitt plays three straight top 25 games to end the season. They host Notre Dame, they go to Georgia Tech, and they host Miami.
I would
and
say
you
it
already
matters
have
a little
two
bit.
Losses, so I would say it matters.
Yeah. But it's not a conference game.
Yikes. So. Think Marcus Freeman thinks this game matters? Think Notre Dame's going to come in here and think this game matters? Ooh, it may get ugly for Pitt. At least they're at home, though. I missed that. That's that's a,
that's one of the quotes of all time.
It's one of them. Yeah, it's a quote.
One of the quotes of the week.
One of the quotes of the week. So there you go. No, I'm with you. I don't think anything majorly changes tonight. But coming down the stretch, of course, you have Ohio State will play Michigan. You've got Alabama. They'll have Oklahoma and Auburn right on their schedule. Just kind of looking at some of those top 10 teams trying to find their way in. Who do you expect to be that G5 team? I mean, who? Because that G5 is just a cluster right now. I mean, that's a disaster. Them and the ACC are sharing a beer at the bar because they don't know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, Memphis was that team and, gosh, did everything they could to come back at home to beat Tulane. I feel like Tulane has to be that favorite right now going on the road and getting that win. That was the one difference. We didn't even realize that was the one difference in our 10 picks of the week.
Yeah.
Every one of our Saturday picks were the exact same. So a 9-1 week for you, an 8-2 week for me. We both missed Florida. And what a gross.
I think everybody missed Florida.
What a gross game that was. Here, if we're.
Hey, don't look now. The Dukes of James Madison are ranked in the AP top 25.
That's another team that
they're
could
8-1. Their only loss was to Louisville by 2 touchdowns. Problem is their resume is not all that great.
Yeah,
and the 2 bigger games they have are not all that good with Washington State and Coastal. But don't look now.
Well, as we go to break again, this is Pitt's Pat Narduzzi. The question was asked if they felt like the Notre Dame game was a must-win game. He responded, quote, absolutely not. It's not an ACC game, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'll gladly get beat 110-10 in that game. They can put up 100 on us as long as we can win the next 2. But again, our focus is on Notre Dame and getting as many wins as we can.
Oh, no. Oh. Dude. That's bad. That's bad.
It's an interesting stance to go about your week. When college game day is going to your place, we want to win.
But if we don't.
But if we don't, it's okay because we just need to win the next 2.
I thought it was going to be a quote where, like, they asked him if this game matters and he gave, like, the coach speak answer.
Oh, no.
No, because we're not worried about our bigger picture. We're worried about ourselves. And, you know, I figured
we're worried about winning practice.
Yeah,
first.
Or some stupid quote like that. No, absolutely not, is the words he used.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. Well, to bring this back to Auburn as we go to break, I would say that if I'm the athletic director, I probably have to make a phone call. Do you remember who the athletic director is at Pitt?
I do.
The one and only Alan Green. Do you think he makes a call? We'll let you ponder that as we go to break. 334-321-1390. You can give us a call. You can shoot us a text at 784-1067. We'll bring it back. Talk a little bit more about Auburn and who could be playing quarterback this weekend, or next weekend, rather, against Missouri. That's coming up next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
So we were going to talk quarterbacks, and we realized a couple of things. One, 4 minutes is not enough time. Two, we found something fascinating, and I've seen it, and I guess I just haven't really addressed it or looked at it deep enough to realize that the SEC is about to be the biggest and nastiest home wrecker that you can think of when comes to the college football playoff, because this conference is on its way to having 5, 6, 7, 8 different teams that will have a legitimate argument. If things play out in a particular way, this conference is going to dominate, and it will raise you-know-what if they don't get all their teams in, which they won't, so go ahead and accept that if you're Greg Sankey, but this could lead to some serious chaos.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have 5 teams in the SEC right now that have 1 loss or less. Texas A&M and Alabama are both undefeated. Georgia, Ole Miss, and Texas only have 1 loss.
In SEC play.
In conference play, yes. Vanderbilt is 4-2. Oklahoma is 3-2. Those teams want to have a say.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma just beat Tennessee on the road. Where does Oklahoma go this weekend? Oh, they go to one of the undefeated teams in Alabama. People aren't ready for that doomsday conversation. If Oklahoma moves to 8-2, they go to 4-2 in conference play, and their back-to-back wins with a bye week in between are at Tennessee and at Alabama.
Also hold a win over Michigan, who is quietly climbing the rankings at 7-2.
And then all you have to do is beat Missouri and LSU.
At home.
At home. Feels like you deserve a conversation.
I would say so. I mean, yeah, A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss. Where does Texas fall in all of this? Where does Vanderbilt fall in all this? I mean, those teams all have a say.
That's going to be decided a lot this weekend. Because, again, a lot more doomsday. What if Texas goes on the road and beats Georgia?
Oh, gosh.
People aren't ready for that conversation. Then all of a sudden, the Texas win over OU looks that much better. And then Texas also plays Texas A&M in the final week of the season. Where that could be an A&M team that calls off the dogs because they're already in the college football playoff. And Texas is sitting there going, so you're saying a win means that we're most likely in.
Yeah, weirdly enough, that game I feel like they wouldn't because of the deep rivalry.
No, but saying if that were to be mentally the case of almost like the Pitt head coach. Well, we want to win, and our focus is on Texas.
But if we don't.
But if we don't win, we also want to make sure that Marcel Reed stays healthy.
Yeah, we really just want to get our backup quarterback some experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know when he's going to be called on.
So that would leave in this doomsday, and we say doomsday, I think that's for the rest of college football.
And just for the SEC as a whole of trying to make sure that you can pick who is going to make it.
Yeah, and I guess maximize the amount of teams that you get in, right? I mean, there's a possibility that A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Texas, Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, that's seven teams from the SEC that by the end of this thing
could,
and in my opinion, should be able to sit down and make their pitch. Why can't they sit down and make their argument? Here's my resume. Here's what we did. Here's why we deserve a shot. Now, the SEC is going to be helped because the ACC is terrible. Because the Big Ten has three at the top and nobody else. They won't get a fourth then. I don't think Michigan or USC will make that climb. The Big 12, I don't know what the heck's going on there. So, the only thing here is the guaranteed G5 team needs to go. That idea needs to get out.
Before we talk basketball, we'll look at every conference as a whole when we come back.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. We'll do that. We got 30 more minutes. We'll wrap up football, talk basketball right after this.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate you being with us as we are, I think, wrapping up our college football playoff discussion because it just gets wilder by the minute.
We go to break and just sit here and continue our conversations that just...
Yeah, the conversations that don't make it on air, man. Some are good, some are not. So, what else did you discover over there? Because I do want to put a bow on this about the playoff, because we do want to talk basketball, because Auburn plays Wofford tonight at Neville.
Yeah, this might be a little bit more of a conversation that carries into tomorrow, just so we can talk Auburn and Wofford. But just sitting here looking at it, again, as there are seven teams in the SEC right now that we say could have a legitimate shot at the college football playoff. And
it's wild, dude.
You want to say that Texas A&M is a lock, right? You want to say that they are probably the one guarantee because they have South Carolina, they have Wofford, and then they have Texas. You win one of those. Even if it's the one to Wofford, you feel like 10-2 with the win at Notre Dame would carry them into the playoff, much less you beat South Carolina and Wofford, go 11-1, worst case scenario.
Yeah, I think their win this past weekend solidified that.
I agree with that. Yeah. Alabama, you don't know yet, because although they're undefeated in conference play, they do have the one loss, and Oklahoma and Auburn want to have some sort of say on that. And 9-3, 6-2, usually is good enough for the conversation. Georgia is in that same boat with Texas and Georgia Tech. What a wild game that could be, although it's non-conference. If that's Georgia's second conference loss and they finish 9-3, what a crazy scenario that could lead to.
I'll say this, though, and I know we're trying to move on. I'll let you decide if the College Football Playoff Committee leaves out a 9-3 Alabama team.
Or a 9-3 Georgia team.
Either one.
Yes.
I'll let you make that decision and see if they leave those teams out. If they can make it work, they absolutely will.
They're actually in talks of a 14-team playoff right now.
Just this one time, though.
Just a one-time guinea pig, yeah. Ole Miss, you want to say, is a lock, which sounds crazy to say, but when you look at their football schedule, they have
Florida and Mississippi State.
Yeah, okay, I was looking at the wrong ones. By week, they have Florida and Mississippi States.
Yeah.
So you win one of those.
Yeah.
That puts you at 10-2. Worst case scenario, Texas wants to have a say because they still have Georgia. They still have Texas A&M. Vanderbilt wants to, and Oklahoma wants to. And so just a wild concept of sitting here looking at the amount of teams where if Georgia does go 9-3, but they're 6-2, and like what you're making the joke of, no way they leave them out. But if Texas beats Georgia and they're both 9-3, but Texas has the win over Georgia, basically there's going to be one, if not two teams from the Southeastern Conference that feel like they got shafted.
Yeah,
by a 12-team playoff. And I think it goes back to guaranteeing teams and guaranteeing the G5 team.
It's the year where a G5 team is genuinely stealing a bid, I think. I think last year Boise State deserved it.
Sure.
I think last year the guaranteed G5 bid benefited them and put Boise in who deserved it.
And it made the playoff committee not have to really look at any, not their consequence, but just the consequence of, okay, what if there is a team that's 10-2, but there's three 9-3 SEC teams.
Yeah.
What do we do then?
Right. Because the guaranteed G5 rule was put in for a Boise State last year. When there's a team who has the resume and the argument, then they don't have to fight as hard because they're guaranteed the spot. This year, the fact that we're coming down the stretch in November 11th and we still don't know who that G5 team is going to be. We knew it was Boise State this time last year.
Yeah.
Right? This year, the argument is, okay, is it going to be a 2 or 3 loss Memphis or South Florida or Tulane or whoever, right? I mean, that's not what it was built for.
It makes it fun for the regular season entertainment.
Right, but you start comparing a 2 or 3 loss G5 team resume to a 2 or 3 loss P4 team resume, not named the ACC, because I think their conference is a joke. Big 10, Big 12, or SEC, their resume compared to a G5 team, it's not even close.
Take Texas for that example.
Sure.
Where your loss was on the road in week one to Ohio State.
By a touchdown.
By a touchdown. On the road at Florida is that kind of that one gifted loss, and then say that that's the number 5, Georgia, on the road by a field goal. Say that that's the scenario.
Yeah.
But a 10-2 G5 team that lost to San Jose State Penitentiary Junior College.
Yeah, exactly.
On a Tuesday night.
So that's what I'm saying. I think the G5 rule this year is going to steal a bid from somebody, which is unfortunate because that's not what it was put there to do.
It goes right back to something I haven't talked about in a while, but how long until the top two teams in the SEC, thank you so much, thank you, but we decline the need to play in the conference championship because of injuries, because of health, because of it not benefiting you whatsoever. It goes back to the idea of how the SEC, in my opinion, is going to form their own bracket And the way that it would sit right now is Texas A&M and most likely Ole Miss at the end of the year. Those would be teams 1 and 2. They get the automatic bid by the SEC into the college football playoff. You then have 3 playing 6. You have 4 playing 5.
I think it's great.
And you have awesome. Mercedes-Benz hosting a 2:30 and a 7:30 kick and making an entire event. The two teams that win, those are the other two teams that are the automatic qualifiers when the 16-team bracket comes around.
I think it's great.
And then if you want to pick the two losing teams as the of-the-field teams,
the at-large
bids,
yeah.
You can. But you basically make it, if you're the SEC, of, okay, these are our four teams. You can place them where you want. But there's no confusion on who's going to be in or who's going to be out.
Yeah, and I think you could do that for several big-name conferences, too.
And what a wild day that would be.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
It would be incredible to watch of teams 3 and 6 in the SEC, the way that the standings would finish up, and then 4 and 5.
Because we already believe that conference championship games are going away.
Correct.
And this would be a major reason because of that. But would be a fix.
It would be a fix to where Texas A&M and Ole Miss are not playing their third string players in the second half of their games, because both teams are already in the college football playoff. And for a team like A&M, if they went out, man, they're going to get a first round bye.
Yeah.
Even if it means you're not questioning the college football playoff, but it makes it to where, okay, we can either bye or get a bye, or we, yes, it would be awesome to host at Kyle Field, but it means we have to play another game and risk potential losing. Or if you're Ole Miss in that standpoint, okay, we're now hosting, but if we lose, what if they put us at the 10 seed and all of a sudden we have to go on the road to Eugene?
Well, I understand the argument, too, about, think about a Texas A&M or an Ole Miss who have never won an SEC football title, or Indiana up there in the Big Ten who has never won a Big Ten title. Like, yeah, there's that argument, too, on the pride factor of, like, man, Ole Miss has literally has never won an SEC football championship. I don't even think they've played in one.
But if you ask Lane Kiffin, I guarantee it doesn't mean a lot to him if it means he can play in the playoffs.
If you hook him up to a lie detector test and you say, which one means more, an SEC title or a national title?
Or not even a national title, an SEC championship game or hosting the first round of the college football playoff?
I think it's a no-brainer.
Because if you win the SEC championship...
cool, nothing happens.
Congrats. Now what?
Yeah, now that's it. Hang the banner if you want, but...
but if you lose, oh, instead of us hosting Louisville or Virginia or Tulane or whoever the case may be, oh, you're telling me that I now have to go to Eugene in round one? You're telling me I have to go to Bloomington in round one? Or I guess they would most likely get the first round by, but you're telling
stands,
me I
yeah.
now have to go to Lubbock to play Texas Tech instead of hosting?
Right.
All
it
because,
doesn't, it doesn't
all
make
because
sense.
I took a risk of playing in a conference championship game that ultimately doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Someone texted in our text box, 334-784-1067. They said, I'm so excited for this format if it happens. And I agree. I think that would be awesome. Somebody else
imagine
texted
how fun
in.
The day would be.
Oh, it'd be great.
You could sit there on Saturday and you get to watch a 2:30 game. The winner gets an automatic bid to the playoff. And then you get to watch a 6:30 or a 7:30 game.
Yeah.
Between the fourth and fifth place team, which, again, right now, you say fourth and fifth, and usually that's like, okay, those teams aren't going to be anything great. Right now, that would be, if you take Ole Miss and you put them out, that'd be Texas and Vanderbilt again.
Yeah. And there would be years and there would be conferences and situations where it wouldn't be that good. Does anybody care to watch the fourth and fifth best teams in the ACC go at it right now?
No.
No. But.
But if Texas beats Georgia and all of a sudden it's Georgia and Oklahoma.
Right.
Or something, playing for a college football bid.
But the SEC and ACC are not the same. They're not built the same. They're two completely separate. The SEC is so far above the ACC, it's not even funny.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't do this for every conference. That would just be the SEC's own doing.
Yeah.
In their own way of, okay, college football playoff committee, we appreciate all of the teams that you want to have selected. Mm-hmm. However, these are the first four that are guaranteed. And if that 6 seed beats the 3 seed and you don't like any other teams from the conference, you can put that 3 seed in at the at-large bid.
Sure.
However, these are the teams that we have gifted you to place into the bracket.
I feel like they would almost have to have like a specific spot to go, because what would prevent, and this is thinking, I guess, evilish, but what would prevent the committee from saying, okay, the SEC presents, right? Okay, here's the two that we are guaranteed in because they won our little tournament that we created over here that was approved or whatever. But what would prevent the playoff committee from punishing those teams? It's like, oh, congrats, you won that game, but yeah, we just happen to think you were the, you know, 10th best team, and that just happens to make a trip to Eugene. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
What would prevent the playoff committee from quote-unquote punishing the SEC for doing something? I don't know. Again, that's thinking really deep about this.
If
but
it being like, well, we still think Georgia's the better team, although Oklahoma beat you in Atlanta.
Yeah, I would say the SEC's two winners in that thing would be guaranteed the 7 spot in the 4 spot, or whatever it is, right? So, again, that's thinking super deep into it. But a couple of people have chimed in here. Again, someone says they are super excited if this were to take form.
Just vote me in, baby. I'll make it happen.
Yeah. Eric in Auburn says that he feels like we have the same, and this is a great point, we have the same conversation about the SEC tournament in basketball.
We do, yes,
the
100%.
The tournament doesn't help. Why wear your team out trying to win it? Which is what has been our argument.
That was Auburn's argument last year.
Yeah.
You go and you win the SEC tournament in Nashville.
It does nothing for you.
Thumbs up. Cool. Yeah. Or, not that you wanted to, but you go win one game and then you lose. And, oh, no, we have 4 more days to rest.
Because, again, what means more, a conference championship or a national championship? And I know that nothing is guaranteed. And if you have a chance to win one over the other, then go for it, I guess. But I want a national title, man. How many people could sit here and tell me the last 5 SEC champions in football or basketball? Right? I bet you can do it for the national champions, though,
because
that's what matters at the end of the day. Somebody also texted in and said there's a rule in the SEC bylaws that prevents a team from foregoing the SEC championship game, which is what people have brought up to kind of dispute our argument. I want to know, though, and I don't know the answer to this, what's the punishment there? Is it financial punishment for TV deals, for rights and things like that? Is it? I'm sure that has something to do with it, but at what point does a Texas A&M look at the SEC and say, I don't care. Punish me. I dare you. Sankey, I dare you to
Sankey,
do something.
Kick a team from your league out of the college football playoff.
Pull funding
please.
From us on our TV rights because we don't play in this game while we're going to prepare for a national title game. Yeah. Are you really going to tell us we can't?
Or in this scenario, if it gets to the point of where these teams and Greg Sankey can come to an agreement of we're not punishing them, they get the bye. The first two teams, give them...
I guess we're merging the ideas, basically, is what we're doing. Rather than somebody telling the SEC to kick rocks, we're not playing in this game, we're just saying to eliminate it altogether and have this tournament instead.
Right. Yeah, of where...
That makes sense.
Basically, you play all season long, and you're crowned... If you want to be crowned co-conference champions, you can, but you play all season for the luxury of getting that bye in the SEC tournament.
It's the same thing in basketball.
And then the teams that finished 3rd through 6th, you get the luxury of playing one more game to prove that you belong.
Yeah. I mean.
Oh, man, fire me up.
Yeah.
That would be incredible. It makes too much sense.
Oh,
it would
yeah.
be too
no,
cool for
it,
it
It's
to
too
happen,
good to be true.
But
yeah, it's too good to be true. But how cool would that be?
What an awesome event that would be.
It would be a lot better than whatever the heck we're trying to do right now.
And you want to talk about bringing back the, not even the pride for the SEC or the SEC championship, but the pride of that day of SEC Championship Day.
That first Saturday in December.
Yeah.
It would mean something again.
Man.
It would mean something again, which would make college football better. That's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to make the sport better. We're trying to make
Look
it
at us.
Matter again all the way through, start to finish, every game that's played. But what do we know?
Not a lot.
I do know we have to get to break.
And I know Auburn basketball plays tonight, and we tried to quickly wrap up a college football conversation that took us.
I blame our texters. I blame them. They texted us. They distracted us. And we ask that you always do it again. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number. We probably don't have time to take phone calls. So that's the number for tomorrow. How about that? And the text box is always open too at 784-1067. Quick preview and picks for Auburn and Wofford basketball right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Christian, you said you wanted to talk more football. Is that right? You had more football to
I was looking at the Pac-12 and was thinking about different ways that Oregon State, who is 2-8 in Washington State, that's 0-1 or 4-5 in conference play.
The new look Pac-12, baby. We can no longer say RIP because it's coming back.
It is.
So, no, we are not talking football. We only have a couple of minutes. We do want to talk a little basketball. We fully planned on talking about it more, but just didn't happen. So, I'm sorry. It is.
We have 2.5 minutes, and I can give a very fast insight. Are we ready?
Do you feel better or worse? Auburn struggled in game one, had to go to overtime to win. They look much better in game two against one of the worst offensive performances I've ever seen with Mary Mack. Do you feel better or worse given the two games that we are right now?
About tonight? I mean,
or do you feel good or bad? Yay or nay?
I feel fine. Tonight will tell me more about that if you can still see that step up, right? But if you go back to what you saw in round one against, or in the first game against Bethune-Cookman, I think some of those concerns can work their way up.
I want to see if this team, what the health status is. I know we're waiting on Keyshawn Murphy to play, possibly Simon Walker to play as well. He warmed up last time. He didn't play.
Yeah.
Coach Stephen Pearl said he may get some action tonight against Wofford. We'll see. But those are the two guys I'm looking at, Simon Walker and Keyshawn Murphy.
Yeah, you'd love to see Tahad get going a little bit more.
Yeah.
I want to see if there's one thing. I want to see him come off of screens and get downhill. He's 3 of 16 from beyond the three-point line, which you know that number will increase, but he's 5 of 10 from two-point range and gets to the free throw line and obviously is a fantastic free throw shooter. So get to the rim, establish your dominance down low. I would love for this to be one of those games that Auburn shoots 6 of 16 from three, but just bullies their way inside. This Wofford team is not an overly big team. Their guards actually do a majority of the rebounding. They have a couple guards that average 5.5, 6 rebounds per game. It's a younger team. They don't have a senior on their team. They do have a tendency to turn the ball over. They turn the ball over more than they force other teams to turn the ball over. I think it was like a 11 to 14 turnovers that you force versus turnovers that get forced on you ratio. They're 268th in adjusted tempo. And so it's a team that doesn't want to move very quickly, which makes it even more important that Auburn is able to take advantage of their possessions. And you don't necessarily see the ISO ball with wasted possessions. Kamari Holmes, the sophomore guard, leads the way, 14 points, 5 rebounds a game. Again, this is a team that Auburn should have their way with, especially, again, the physicality down low. That's what I would love to see. I'd love to see this team have a lot of assists, work their way into the paints, and get those kick-out threes, if not just bully their way in two-point land, get to the free throw line, and stay healthy before you make your way into Sunday.
Yep, Auburn men's basketball tonight against Wofford. You'll be there at Neville Arena. If you cannot be there, we'll have the radio broadcast for you with Andy Burcham, Randall Dickey on the call. They'll have it for you on Wings 94.3. I will not be there. I'm on the air tonight calling a little hoops with Auburn High Basketball. The boys opening up against Prattville. That's on 96.3 W Lee. They begin at 7 o'clock as well. We're back tomorrow for a loaded show on Wednesday. That'll be 2 to 4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.